ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ नमो भगवते श्रीदक्षिणामूर्तिस्वरूपाय श्रीदयानन्दरूपाय परमगुरवे परमात्मने टुडे ऐ एम गोइंग टू इंट्रोड्यूस बृहदारण्यक उपनिषद सो फर्स्ट इट इज बेटर टू अंडरस्टैंड द मीनिंग ऑफ the very expression Brihadaranyakopanishad. Brihat means big, great, and this Upanishad is great because the content presented in this Upanishad is very great. And in size also it is very big. How great it is, if you ask, the contents, the themes, the ideas covered in every other Upanishad is covered here. All the themes, all the ideas, subject matter covered in all other Upanishads are together covered in this one Upanishad. In Mundaka, Mandukya, Aitareya, Taittiriya, Kena, Katha, in all the Upanishads there is a common one teaching, Brahma Vidya. But still different ideas, the themes are presented. And all of them are presented here. Not only those themes are discussed here, but also the thing ideas which are not found in other Upanishads are also presented in this Upanishad. This Chandogya Upanishad and Brihadaranyaka Upanishad are equally big in size. But content-wise, Brihadaranyakam is greater. Size-wise, both are equally big. But content, if we take, we just finished Chandogya Upanishad. Only one chapter is exclusively dedicated for Brahma Vidya. And 7th and 8th, we have few mantras discussing Brahma Vidya. The rest of the Upanishad discusses mainly upasanas. Whereas this Upanishad, all the ideas discussed in all the Upanishads, this Upanishad has all the ideas, all the themes. Not only all the ideas found in other Upanishads, also the themes which are not found in other Upanishads are also discussed here. We can say, this Brihadaranyakam is an all-devouring Upanishad, all encompassing and an inclusive Upanishad. Therefore, in terms of quality and quantity, it is big and great. Therefore, it is called Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Brihat means big. You already know the meaning of the word Brihat. Brihadishwara, the Lord who is the whole, is called Brihadishwara. There's a temple in Tanjore in South India dedicated to this Lord called Brihadishwara. And Brihannayika is the name of Devi, because who is great, big. And Brihat means big. Even the word Brahma is because bigness is derived from the word Brihat only. Brihatvat Brahma. And here Brihat means this Upanishad, due to its bigness in terms of quality and quantity, is called Brihat Upanishad. And this Upanishad is mainly studied by people who are in sannyas ashrama or who are highly mature, especially in the forest. Aranyakam, Aranyam is, means forest. Therefore, it's called Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. It's a general meaning. And this Brihadaranyaka Upanishad is like the Ishavasya Upanishad found in the Shukla Yajurveda. Taittiriya Upanishad and Kathopanishad are the Upanishads found in Krishna Yajurveda, whereas Ishavasyam and Brihadaranyakam are the Shukla Yajurveda Upanishads. Shukla Yajurvediyopanishad. In fact, people used to say, if you quote something from Upanishad, if you do not remember which Upanishad it is from, you can simply say it is from Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Why? Because all these things are discussed in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. This Upanishad, as I said, is from Shukla Yajurveda. So any Veda has many branches. The branch in Sanskritam is called Shakha. But this particular Veda, Shukla Yajurveda, has two branches. And one branch is called Kanva Shakha. Today I am only introducing. Introduction is very important. Make out everything. Shukla Yajurveda has two main branches known as Kanva Shakha and Madhyandina Shakha. I'm repeating, Kanva Shakha and Madhyandina Shakha. Generally, the mantras of one shakha will not be found in another shakha. The mantras of different shakhas will be different. But this Brihadaranyaka Upanishad is a peculiar one. It is found in both the shakhas. In Kanva Shakha also, there is Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. In Madhyandina Shakha also, there is Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. So the one Upanishad is found in both these shakhas, both the branches, called Kanva Shakha and Madhyandina Shakha. There is very slight difference in the mantras of the Upanishad. Brihadaranyaka Upanishad found in these two shakhas. Very, very slight difference. And here we are going to follow the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad found in the Kanva Shakha. We take up the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad found in the Kanva Shakha. So this Upanishad, Brihadaranyaka Upanishad found in the Kanva Shakha, can be divided into three portions, and each portion is called Kandaha. First ka, Kandaha. Madhu Kandaha is the first Kanda. The second one, second portion is called Yajnavalkya Kandaha. Yajnavalkya Kandaha or Muni Kandaha. And the third portion of this Brihadaranyaka Upanishad is called Khila Kandaha. The Kanda is the first ka. So Madhu Kandaha, Yajnavalkya Kandaha or Muni Kandaha. Third one is Khila Kandaha. This Madhu Kandaha mainly discusses the teaching of Brahman. Brahma Vidya Upadeshaha is the main subject matter discussed in the Madhu Kandaha. Therefore, this Madhu Kandaha is also known as Upadesha Kandaha. In this section, in this portion, Brahman, the absolute reality, is presented as the substratum, adhishtanam of this entire universe, which is of interdependence. The universe is of interdependence. How everything in this universe is interdependent. Elements, elementals, the living, the non-living, the mobile, immobile, human beings, how everything in this universe is interdependent. So interdependence and the interrelationship of the universe is elaborately discussed here. And this discussion on interdependence of this world and the objective universe is called Upakarya Upakaraka Bhavaha. Upakarya Upakaraka Bhavaha. Upakarya Upakaraka Bhavaha. And this Upakarya Upakaraka Bhavaha is known by this word Madhu. The word Madhu literally means sweetness, honey, elsewhere, Ahankara. But here, don't get confused. Life of interdependence in this world, objects existing in this world being interdependent, is discussed elaborately. And which interdependence of objects and beings is called உபகாரிய உபகாரக்க பாவக. And this upakarya upakaraka bhavaha is otherwise mentioned as madhu. Therefore, this first section, sorry, first portion of the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad is known as madhu kandaha. And the second section, the second portion of the Upanishad is called Munikandaha. You know the very word Munihi, you know. Munihi, a sage. Munikandaha, otherwise called Yajnavalkya Kandaha. Because the main sage, the main teacher is Yajnavalkya. And this second portion known as Munikandaha or Yajnavalkya Kandaha is mainly dealing with reasoning. The first portion deals with the teaching of Brahma Vidya, and this second portion discusses the reasoning, or you can say it lends logical support to the teaching. It establishes the non-refutability of the teaching. How the teaching is non-shakable, unshakable, established through reasoning, through logical support. And here, the main acharyaha, guruhu, is Yajnavalkyaha. Only one teacher, many sishyas come and go, but only one teacher, Yajnavalkya here. In fact, Yajnavalkya, not only the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad teacher, he is the main teacher of the entire Shukla Yajurveda. The whole of Shukla Yajurveda can be attributed to Yajnavalkya Rishi. So Yajnavalkya is also known as Vajasaneyaha. Rishihi Munihi Yajnavalkyaha is also known as Vajasaneyaha, because he studied, the guru of Yajnavalkyaha is the Surya Bhagavan, sun, who is called Vajasanihi. So Vajasanihi, sun is called Vajasanihi, not Shani, okay, not Sha, Sa, Vajasanihi. It is a dental sakara, not palatal, not even cerebral. Sanihi, Vajasanihi. Saraswati Sa. Vajam means food. Sanihi means bestower. Sun God, Surya Bhagavan, is always remembered mainly as the bestower of food. Annadata. Energizer. Enlivener. Therefore, Vajasanihi. Vajam means food. Vajasanihi means Vajam Sanoti Iti Vajasanihi. Sanoti means Dadati. Vajam Annam Sanoti Dadati Iti Vajasanihi. So Vajrasanihi is name of Surya Bhagavan. And Surya Bhagavan played the role of the teacher for Yajnavalkya. Therefore, Rishi Yajnavalkya is called Vajasaneyaha. So, Vajasanihi is Suryaha. Vajasani's Sishya is called Vajasaneyaha. And the teaching given by Vajasaneyaha Yajnavalkya is called Vajasaneyi. You have to remember three words. Vajasanihi, Vajasaneyaha, Vajasaneyi. That's why Brihadaranyaka Upanishad is also called Vajasaneyi Upanishad. In fact, the Shukla Yajurveda itself is called what? Vajasaneyi Samhita. Why is called Vajasaneyi Samhita? The portion of the Veda consisting of teaching of Vajasaneyaha Yajnavalkyaha, disciple of Vajasanihi. Hope I have not confused you. Is it clear? You want me to repeat? Surya Bhagavan is called Vajasanihi. See, studying Brihadaranyaka means what? Very interesting. Vajasanihi is name of Surya Bhagavan. Why sun is called Vajasanihi? Because Vajam means food, Sanihi means data, giver. So the giver of food, the bestower of food is called Vajasanihi. And he played the role of a teacher. Yajnavalkya happens to be the disciple of Vajasanihi. Yajnavalkya is called Vajasaneyaha. Vajasanehe Sishyaha Vajasaneyaha. Vajasanihi Vajasaneyaha. And his teaching is called Vajasaneyi. Got it? Say now, Vajasanihi Vajasaneyaha Vajasaneyi. And Shukla Yajurveda, Rishi Yajnavalkya happens to be the main teacher. The whole Yajurveda is called Vajasaneyi Samhita. It's all extra information which you may not need, but still I wanted to give. Anyway, so therefore it's called Muni Kandaha, Yajnavalkya Kandaha. Now you know the second portion of the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Then the third portion of the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad is called Khila Kandaha. The word Khila actually means compilation, compiling. The section wherein many rituals, mainly many upasanas are put together, given, presented together. Therefore, it's called Khila Kandaha. In this section, we don't find the subject, the contents in a very systematic manner. So such Khila Kandas are found in the Vedas. Khila itself means that the mantras presented in a non-systematic manner, discussing rituals, upasanas, lots of things. So many things are compiled together. Like our fruit salad. You have one orange, one apple, and one banana. Sometimes people come, you cut everything together, put them together, and you serve fruit salad. Like that, Kilakanda is like a fruit salad, having many things together. Like this, we have these three portions. So, Kanva, we can say Kanva Shaka and this Madhyandana Shaka, both shakas of Shukla Yajurveda, in fact, has this Upanishad. But we follow the Kanva Shaka Upanishad, which is divided into three portions as Madhukandaha, Munikandaha, or Yajnavalkya Kandaha and Kilakandaha. Therefore, it is Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Now, it's very important for us to remember the meaning of the word Upanishad. We have studied many Upanishads. I'm sure you remember all the meaning. But still, today I want to make it very clear. If we take this word Upanishad, when you look at the word separately as Upanishad, we never say Upanishad. It is Upanishad. And this word Upanishad actually means, implies Brahma Vidya. Upanishad is equal to Brahma Vidya. Knowledge of the reality, knowledge of the truth. And this word Brahma Vidya, Upanishad, meaning Brahma Vidya, implying Brahma Vidya, conveys three factors. How this word Brahma Upanishad can be again divided into three parts. Upa is one part, one portion. Ni, then Shat. Upa, Ni, Shat. Let us first take the word Shat. The portion Shat. Shat is actually the modified form of Sadr. Sad. Shat is actually taken from the root Sadr. There you get this expression Sad. Sad. Sad stands for the verb. The two verbs are there. The word, the Sad stands for two verbs. One is avasadayati. And another word is gamayati. Sad is equal to avasadayati, then gamayati. Avasadayati means destroys, removes. Gamayati means makes one reach, attain. It's a causative verb. So what does the knowledge of the truth do? What does it destroy? Brahma Vidya, knowledge of the reality, destroys definitely ignorance of the reality. Destroys ignorance. Ajnanam avasadayati. Brahma Vidya, Brahma Jnanam, Brahma Ajnanam avasadayati. knowledge of the truth destroys, removes, dispels the ignorance of the reality. By removing the ignorance, what does it remove? The cause of this ignorance of Brahman is the root cause of samsara. Therefore, when ignorance, knowledge removes ignorance, it removes ignorance caused samsara also. Therefore, the expression sad stands for the removal or the destruction of ignorance and the ignorance caused samsara. So sad stands for removal or destruction of ignorance and the ignorance caused samsara. So Brahma Jnanam, Brahma Ajnanam, Tatha Brahma Ajnana Janya Samsaram Cha Avasadayati. It removes both. Okay, sad stands for removal. Usually people say destroys. I prefer saying it helps you resolve ignorance. Brahma Vidya helps one resolve ignorance and the ignorance caused samsara, the bondage. Then we have to come next verb, gamayati. If you take the meaning of that expression sad as gamayati, as avasadayati, you understood the meaning. As gamayati, Brahma Vidya, knowledge of the truth, helps one attain, reach Brahman. How does knowledge of the reality help one attain Brahman? Not physically, but cognitively. So knowledge of the reality helps one attain Brahman in terms of how helps one attain Brahman means there is as though distance between, there is distance between you, the jiva, and Brahman, the reality. And the distance is caused by ignorance. Ignorance caused distance is removed by knowledge. So knowledge removes the distance between you and Brahman caused by ignorance. Therefore, you as though you attain Brahman. So one who knows Brahman becomes one with Brahman. Means what? You're already Brahman. As long as you're ignorant of Brahman, you're as though away from Brahman. Once you know the Brahman, then you see yourself being Brahman. Therefore, this sad also stands for gamayati, which means then Brahma Vidya helps one attain Brahman cognitively. It means it was removed by removing the distance caused by ignorance. It helps one reach Brahman. These are the two meanings. Okay, have to understand. The sad stands for this. Avasadanam gamanam. Avasadayati gamayati. Two verbs. Then we come to the next one. One more thing. When you discover Brahman as your own swarupam, your own self, and what is swarupam of Brahman? பிரம்ம வித்யா, நாலெட்ஜ் ஆஃப் பிரம்மன், நாட் ஓன்லி டஸ் இட் ஹெல்ப் யூ அட்டைன் பிரம்மன் ஆஸ் யுவர் செல்ஃப், இட் ஆல்சோ ஹெல்ப்ஸ் யூ டேக் ஓனர்ஷிப் ஆஃப் ஃபுல்னஸ் ஆஸ் யுவர் ஓன் நேச்சர். சோ நோயிங் பிரம்மன் இஸ் வாட் இஸ் அட்டைனிங் பிரம்மன், அட்டைனிங் பிரம்மன் இஸ் ஆல்சோ அட்டைனிங் தி ஃபுல்னஸ் தி நேச்சர் ஆஃப் பிரம்மன் which is happiness. Attainment of knowledge of Brahman is attainment of Brahman. Attainment of Brahman is attainment of the nature of reality Brahman, that is happiness. Therefore, it destroys, our Brahma Vidya destroys the sorrow caused by ignorance and helps you attain sukham. Not really attaining, it take ownership of sukham as your swarupam. Therefore, avasadhanam and gamanam, it helps you attain. So, dukkha nivrittihi and sukha praptihi, ananda praptihi. The sad stands for what now? துக்க நிவத்திஹி சுக ஆர் ஆனந்த பிராப்திஹி. திஸ் இஸ் தி மீனிங் யூ கெட் ஃப்ரம் தி எக்ஸ்பிரஷன் சத். தென் இஃப் வி கோ டு தி நெக்ஸ்ட் ஒன், நீ. சோ சத் ஸ்டாண்ட்ஸ் ஃபார் பெனிஃபிட் ஆஃப் நாலெட்ஜ். The knee stands for the requirement, the condition required for enjoying the benefit of knowledge. What is required for enjoying the benefit of knowledge? It is nischaya jnanam. Nischaya jnanam, firm, doubt-free, clear knowledge. Ni stands for Brahma Vidya, which is doubt-free, clear knowledge. See, ignorance is an intellectual problem which you can resolve by studying the Shastram with the help of the teacher. And doubts also intellectual problem. Doubt also belongs to the intellect, intellectual problem, which can be sorted out by Mananam. But there is something called emotional problem. In terms of viparita bhavana or habitual error caused problem, the problem caused by habitual error or emotional problems, Vedanta can handle, can deal only with your intellectual problem. Emotional problems in terms of jealousy, hatred, anger, fear, confusion, especially misunderstanding, no? Anger, fear, anxiety, jealousy, hatred, these are all these things, emotional problems, they also can what cause obstruction. They may prevent one from enjoying the benefit of knowledge. And to handle this emotional problem, Vedanta study cannot help. You need purely Dharma Shastram. the entire Dharma Shastra comprising of values, morals, ethics, disciplines. Dharma Shastra alone can take care of the emotional maturity. Only when there is emotional maturity, then there is the knowledge which is free from obstruction. In terms of Viparita Bhavana, and this obstruction caused Viparita Bhavana is also called Viparyaya Pratibandha. Therefore, by consciously living a life of values, Amanitvam, Adambitvam, Ahimsa, Kshantihi, Arjavam, no values. One has to take care of this emotional problems, which is also an obstruction, which prevents one. Even that's why we always say, I study Vedanta, I understand everything very well, but still situations, you know, I behave like a non-Vedantic student. I do not know how to handle. Please remember, it is very important to know. That is why we emphasize Dharma so much. The intellectual problem in terms of ignorance and doubts can be handled by Vedanta Shastra. But for the knowledge to be able to enjoy the benefit of the knowledge, we must take care of emotional maturity. Of course, absolute maturity will be only in jnana. But relatively, we have to take care, for which we have to, that's why dharmam sharanam gacchami. You know, dharma is very important. And if we take care of that, then if our knowledge is free from doubts, free from the Viparyaya Pratibandha or Viparita Bhavana, for which Maranam also helps, but still Dharma, then our knowledge will be obstruction-free knowledge, which is useful knowledge, effective knowledge. It's called apratibaddha jnanam. Apratibaddha jnanam. Pratibaddha jnanam means the knowledge which is obstructed from becoming effective. Prevented from being effective. But the knowledge which is free from obstruction. Apratibaddha jnanam. Is called sthira jnanam, sthita prajna. So that is implied by the ni in Upanishad. So you learnt sad, the ni. Next, upa. Upa is a prefix which means near, which stands for Guru Upasadanam. Guru Upasadanam means studying the Shastram, Vedanta Shastram, or Brahma Vidya must be attained through the study of the Shastram with the help of the teacher. Studying the scripture, how should one pursue Brahma Vidya? knowledge of the truth. So guru upadesha pramana dwara brahma vidya praptihi. Guru upadesha pramana dwara brahma vidya praptihi. Upa stands for the attainment of brahma vidya through the appropriate valid means of knowledge called shastram, with the help of the teacher, is implied by the prefix upa. That Upanishad, if you take it, upa emphasizes the knowledge of Brahman pursued through the study of the scripture as pramanam, as a means of knowledge, with the help of the teacher. Therefore, the whole word Upanishad, Brahma, which means Brahma Vidya, presents three factors, implies three factors: the benefit of knowledge, the conditions required for enjoying the benefit of knowledge, and the method of attainment of knowledge. Sadh implies the benefit of the knowledge. Sadh stands for the benefit of knowledge. Ni stands for the condition required for enjoying the benefit of knowledge. And upa stands for the method of attaining the knowledge. So you can say now, having understood very clearly every part of the word Upanishad, now you can say Upanishad means the knowledge of reality obtaining in the form of a thought in the mind, attained through the study of the scripture with the help of the teacher, when it is studied clearly. This I explained even when I taught the Ishavasya Upanishad very clearly. So Upanishad, the implied meaning is the primary meaning, the main meaning of the word Upanishad means Brahma Vidya, knowledge of the truth, which rises in the form of a thought in the mind. In terms of Aham Brahmasmi, that knowledge which rises from a thought alone is what? Brahma Vidya, which is the meaning of the word Upanishad. Is the main meaning, primary meaning. And the text is also called Brahma Upanishad. The text Upanishad, textbook also is called Upanishad, which is Pramanam. Because the words of the Upanishads, the words of the mantras obtaining in the textbook Upanishad serve as means of knowledge of the reality. Therefore, the textbook also is known by the word Upanishad. The word Upanishad means the knowledge of the truth, Brahma Vidya. The secondary meaning is the textbook. And here, therefore, the question comes, why do we say, why can't we take the textbook as the primary meaning, not Brahma Vidya? If the question arises, we have to say the mantras of the Upanishad, the words of the Upanishad, just by reading them, will not remove our sorrow, will not free us from bondage. We mechanically read the book, read the mantras, read the words of the Upanishad. So Upanishad Shabdas, the words of the Upanishad, do not remove samsara, do not free us from bondage, remove our sorrow. But when the words of the Upanishad studied clearly, unfolded properly by teacher, understood clearly, give rise to rising of the knowledge in the thought, and that knowledge alone what removes the bondage, it will free us from bondage. So knowledge born out of study of the Shastra Upanishad alone can remove sorrow, alone will free us from bondage. Therefore, primary meaning of the word Upanishad is Brahma Vidya, knowledge of the truth, which I have taught. So the textbook, the Upanishad, the textbook is only a pramanam, is only secondary meaning. The word Upanishad has two meanings. Primary meaning is Brahma Vidya. Secondary meaning is textbook, a pramanam. So prama is the primary meaning, pramanam is the secondary meaning. As our intellectual personality and emotional personality are very much interconnected, they can influence each other, we have to take care of both the personalities. Only then we can enjoy the benefit of jnanam. That is why in Bhagavad Gita, in simple language, Krishna repeats and repeats and repeats and repeats, live a life of karma yoga. So that living a life of karma yoga implies live a life of dharma. And living a life of dharma implies being conscious of all your actions, without which it is impossible for you to take care of your emotional personality. Otherwise, without taking care of the emotional personality, focusing only on intellectual problem, how much you study also, the Shastra study gives me jnanam, but that knowledge becomes what? Becomes not effective knowledge. One will not be able to enjoy the benefit of knowledge one attains, one has to study of the Shastra. That muktihi, mokshaha, which is enjoyable as a result of knowledge, objectivity, that is possible only if we simultaneously take care of emotional personality by living a life of dharma. Therefore, sad stands for the benefit of knowledge. Ni stands for taking care of, equally giving importance for emotional personality, taking care of emotional problems by living a life of dharma. That alone can help us enjoy the benefit of knowledge. Otherwise, knowledge is there, it will be pratibaddha jnanam. Pratibaddha jnanam means the knowledge is there, obstructed knowledge which is incapable of, you know, helping you enjoy the benefit of knowledge. Therefore, ni nischayatmakaha, nischaya jnanam means a clear, doubt-free, emotional problem, unobstructed by emotional issues. The knowledge which alone becomes apratibaddham jnanam. And which must be pursued only with the help of the Shastram, to study of the Shastram, with the help of the teacher, is impaired by the prefix upa. Therefore, upa ni sad. Upa ni sad becomes upanishad. Then we make it upanishat. And why dakara becomes takara? For which Sanskrit class? Care of Sanskrit class. If anybody wants to know why and how and all that, you have to come to Sanskrit language class. If I do that also in the class, you run away from Vedanta class. Okay, at least this much is enough to understand. Studying Brihadaranyaka means our understanding also must be very clear. After having studied many Upanishads, having come to Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, if you are not 100% clear about what the word Upanishad means, you cannot explain, it will reflect on the teacher. So I see that you understand the meaning correctly, and you will be able to tell other people also clearly, and not only that, you also understand clearly. This is how I wanted to introduce Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. It's a general introduction. Did you all pay attention to one thing I said? Vedanta Shastra Shravanam can only take care of your intellectual problem. Dharma Shastram has to be in importance for your tackling your emotional problems.
Yeah. Swamini,
yeah.
What you've said about me,
yeah,
and the importance of resolving emotional problems,
yeah,
through living a life of Dharma.
Yeah.
It was very helpful.
Yes.
Could you specifically refer me to some verses in the Gita which deal, as you said, very much with the with Karma Yoga? And if there were one or two verses to study on this specifically, I would find that helpful.
Yeah. In fact, the whole Gita, you have many verses emphasizing Karma Yoga and when Dharma is emphasized. Karmanyevadhikaraste, when Krishna says, and Karmasu Kaushalam Yogaha. The particular expression, Karmasu Kaushalam Yogaha. So yogaha implies that the preparedness required for knowledge. And the preparedness required for jnanam implied yoga is implies again karmasu kaushalam, discretion in action. The discretion in action actually implies again you are being conscious of what you are doing. Not repenting after doing, having discretion before doing, whether it is right or wrong. Karmasu kaushalam yogaha. And samatvam yoga uchyate. That again emphasizes, in every situation you are facing, see those situations are actually determined by the Lord in the form of natural laws. Karmanyevadikaraste. There are many verses where the Karma Yoga is highly emphasized. But mainly, Karma Yoga itself, the discretion in action actually implies definitely commitment to live a life of values, dharma.
Thank you. That's very helpful.
Yeah. Definitely dharma anushtanam. That is why all the throughout Gita, even I mentioned this in our other classes, Upanishads always talk about the preparedness, the qualifications required for jnanam. But nowhere it is specifically emphasized how to become qualified is not mentioned. That's why Bhagavad Gita is very, very helpful in understanding how to become qualified. You know, suppose in either textbooks can say one needs to have shamaha, damaha, mastery over one's ways of thinking, mastery over one's sense organs, you know, one must be disciplined, etc. The qualifications are always, you know, prescribed. But how to become qualified? You know, how one should live one's life? That is specifically, very clearly, verse after verse after verse after verse in Gita, it's taught. That is why Bhagavad Gita is called Yoga Shastram also. Yoga Shastra means that which teaches you the way of life, how you should live your life. How living one's life means living one's life in conformity with dharma. If you live your life in conformity with dharma, you are living your life properly. If you're not paying attention to how you live your life, dharma must be given the priority. That is why in all way, when we talk about the purusharthas, we never say artha, kama, dharma, moksha. For understanding the purusharthas, when you analyze the purusharthas, we understand what is artha, what is kama, then understand dharma and moksha. But really speaking, we always say dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Dharma is mentioned as the first purusharta. Why? Because there artha and kama must be pursued for living this life. Definitely having dharma as you're focusing on dharma, in conformity with dharma, ultimately for moksha. If dharma is not given importance, dharma is not followed, values are not followed, if a person does not live an ethical life, then pursuit of artha kama will in no way it will take any distance from where the person is. So however a person is successful relatively in this world, absolutely he'll be an utter failure, a person of utter failure. So relative success in life will never make a person absolutely a person of success. Relative success, relative accomplishments will make a person absolutely a failure if dharma is not given importance. Therefore, living a life of dharma is very important. That is why even prayer is important, Ishvara is important, worship is important. You have to seek Bhagavan's grace, pray, worship, seek Bhagavan's grace for being able to live a life of dharma until you are prepared. The worship and prayer are important until you have clear, doubt-free, ascertained vision. Therefore, the life, prayer, worship, dharma, everything should culminate in the ascertained vision, attainment of the ascertained vision of the reality, which is moksha. Why do I need prayer? Why do I need worship? Worship will make a person subtle-minded. The subtler I am mentally, it will contribute for a mental expansion. So the more expanded mentally I am, subtler I am mentally, I can see the value of dharma. I'll try to live a life dharma again. Again, prayer will give me all strength to be able to live a life of dharma. Because living a life of dharma is not that easy in this world. When priorities will always confuse you. You know, children's education, food, family, you know, everything will come and confuse us. It is very easy for us to go against dharma. Therefore, even whatever situation I go through, I will not compromise with dharma for anything. I can compromise with artha and kama for dharma, but I can never come with dharma for artha kama. That is very difficult. That is why we need strength. That the prayer is emphasized, worship is emphasized, if efficacy of prayer is discussed, significance of worship is discussed, dharma is very important. That is how we also tap Bhagavan's grace to be able to live a dharma, to be able to be qualified for jnana. So Shastra study is a must. There's no way. Shastram as a pramanam is a must. We should study Shastram with the help of the teacher. And our own, sometimes you know, they teach classes may be boring, repetitive and all that. Even that, you will overcome everything once you know the value of everything. That is why dharma is emphasized. Without dharma, Shastra study, without living a life of dharma. That being conscious of how I live my life, I take care of it and don't take care of it. What does the Upanishad study mean? It will not take any distance from where you are. That is why here, that me, in the Upanishad, the expression me, in that expression Upanishad, the me stands for equally paying attention to our emotional personality. By consciously living our lives in conformity with dharma, thereby we'll be able to, we'll be free from the pratibandha, the obstruction caused by viparita bhavana, all these emotional issues. And these issues very natural. We don't, sometimes we pick up from mother's womb, pick up from even previous janmas, pick up from the very childhood, unresolved, unsettled childhood issues. All of us have. All of us. Not one pose exception here. You know, the unintentional behavior of parents is all our own confusions. So they'll all be there, subconscious, and they'll be surfacing, and we have to really handle them very carefully. The fear, anger, etc. Our misunderstanding, wrong perceptions. That is why dharma. So what can Vedanta Shastram deal with? Vedanta study can handle these problems which are intellectual. It can take care of your ignorance. It can help resolve the ignorance. It can help you resolve your doubts. Further, Shravanam and Mananam. Nididhyasanam is emphasized mainly for sorting out the emotional issues which obstruct the enjoyment of the benefit of knowledge. That is why Upanishad, one word, in fact, having three parts, Upa, Ni and Sad, take care of three factors. So Sad stands for the benefit of knowledge, benefit of Brahma Vidya. Ni stands for the condition we require to enjoy the benefit of knowledge. And Upa stands for the method of attainment of knowledge. How we can attain Brahma Vidya. How we can pursue Brahma Vidya. Knowledge of Brahman. Definitely not independently. Through the study of the Shastram. With the help of the sampradaya with teacher. Pursuit of knowledge must be through the study of the Shastra with the help of the teacher. That is emphasized by the method of pursuit of knowledge, emphasized by the prefix upa. Then the nishchaya jnanam, doubt-free, obstruction-free knowledge, effective. What makes knowledge effective? That is dharma anushtanam is emphasized, mananam is emphasized. Definitely clear, obstruction-free knowledge, ni. The condition, what is the condition I need to have? What is required on my part to enjoy the benefit of knowledge? I must know emotionally, I must be relatively mature. So relative emotional maturity required on the part of the person to enjoy the benefit of the knowledge is emphasized by the proof that ni. Then what is the benefit of knowledge? Twofold benefit, we said. Avasadayati gamayati. Avasadayati destroys. So Brahma Vidya destroys two things. Directly destroys ignorance. Indirectly, it resolves samsara. Because ignorance causes samsara, goes along with ignorance. Then it helps us reach, attain two things. What is that? Knowledge of Brahman helps us attain Brahman, reach Brahman. Not physically, of course, by resolving the distance between the individual and the truth, you and the reality. Thereby, by helping you attain Brahman in terms of knowledge, it also helps you take ownership of fullness as your own nature, happiness. So attainment of Brahman is equal to attainment of the nature of Brahman, happiness, which is the benefit of knowledge. So dukkha nivrittihi is ananda praptihi, ajnana nivrittihi samsara nivrittihi. This is what implied by sadh. For benefit of knowledge, then the condition required on my part to enjoy the benefit of knowledge, then the method of pursuit of knowledge. Three factors implied by this one word Upanishad, which means Brahma Vidya. This is the primary meaning. The second meaning, I said, the very textbook is called Brahma Upanishad because it serves as a means of knowledge of the truth. Secondary meaning. The two meanings of the word Upanishad, which you understood very clearly. What is the meaning of the word Vajasanihi? Let me unmute.
Surya Bhagavan.
Why is he called Vajasanihi?
Giver of food.
Okay. What does the word Vajam mean? Okay. Sanihi has come from the verb sanoti. Sanoti is sanihi. Sanoti means dadati. Three words. Vajasanihi, vajasaniyaha, vajasani. Vajasaniyaha, vajasaniyaha, yajnavalkyaha, his disciple. The vajasaniyi is the teaching of yajnavalkya.
Yeah.
In fact, entire the main portion of Shukla Yajurveda is called Vajrasanghini Samhita. Because the whole, the entire month Veda is attributed to Yajnavalkya.
Okay.
So today's class is over. ओम शांति 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 हरि ओम सत श्री नमः हरि ओम.